Blog Talk Radio.
Yum, the best.
The Pittsburgh Penguins are pleased to select Jordan Staal.
Poked away by Staal, short handed. Got a chance on a breakaway. Jordan Staal moves in for his first chance. And they score, and he shoots and scores. Jordan Staal gets his first NHL goal. A big cow kick. There's your penalty killer.
Holmstrom put it off the stick of Fleury. Eaton reversed it on Talbot. Outlet. Jordan Staal carries. Rapalski back with him. Staal in front.
We have a trade to announce. And for those of you in the building, you'll be particularly interested. Pittsburgh trades Jordan Staal to Carolina in exchange for Carolina's own first-round pick in this 2012 draft, the eighth selection overall, and Brandon Sutter. Brian Dumoulin. So Pittsburgh trades Jordan Staal to Carolina for Carolina's first round pick number 8, Brandon Sutter and Brian Dumoulin. This means that the 8th selection, the next selection in the 2012 draft, will be made by the Pittsburgh Penguins.
And there is the earthquake here in Pittsburgh.
For the last 6 years, fans of the Pittsburgh Penguins have been asking, how long will the Penguins be able to keep Crosby, Malkin, and Staal? Well, that question was answered over the weekend, as Staal was traded to the Carolina Hurricanes for the 8th overall pick that was used to select defenseman Derek Pouliot, center Brandon Sutter, and defenseman Brian Dumoulin. And then Ray Shiro, then he traded Zbynek Mikhalyk for defenseman Harrison Ruop, goaltender Mark Shaveri, and a third-round pick, which was used on center Oscar Sundqvist. After a very busy weekend at the Gasol Energy Center, welcome you to the Pens Nation Radio Show. I'm Andy Hughes, and I'm joined once again by my co-hosts Ken Will, Joe Depto, Nick Richter, and Ashley Langua. Guys, how you doing after a pretty crazy weekend?
What a weekend.
Yeah.
Tired.
Tired.
Gary Bettman is a drama queen.
Could you milk that announcement anymore? What a tease that was.
The best part about it is that he's doing the announcement and he says, Brandon Sutter, and,
yeah,
you know, and he has the thing, and then he gets to the end and the crowd's going crazy. They just keep building, and Brian Dumoulin, and everyone's like, oh.
And Eric.
Oh. Yeah, it's funny because everyone cheers so loud. I think the loudest for
Sutter,
the last guy they announced on there, but no one knew who he was.
All right.
He's like, and Brian Dumoulin. What? Who is that guy?
That's Jim Rutherford Beal. In a situation like that where it's like clearly this many people, like the Penguins in Pittsburgh are losing a beloved star, someone who's given a lot to the organization over all these years, yet the reaction is that positive and that strong in their home building whenever it's announced to their crowd for the first time that that's the trade that went down. Does he feel like he won that deal? I mean, really, it's a good hockey trade on both sides.
Yeah.
But damn, man.
Yeah.
It's really surprising because even the media is. I mean, this is Jordan Staal. He could be a first line center on pretty much any team but Pittsburgh, and everyone in the media is even labeling this as the Penguins won this deal. It's like the Penguins made the big splash. It's like you got rid of Jordan Staal. Like what?
It could be a franchise player on a lot of teams.
Yeah,
you sure could. But the Penguins also replaced that spot in that third-line center. And Brandon Sutter is absolutely
very cheaply, too.
No slouch, exactly. He comes a lot cheaper, $2 million cheaper than what Jordan Staal came just for next season alone. Staal's obviously going to get quite a bit of an upgrade in his salary, whatever contract he signs next, whether it be in Carolina or somewhere else. But Sutter, let's take a look at this guy. 17 goals, 15 assists, 32 points last season. Minus three on a bad Carolina team for the majority of the season. He's a fan favorite for by all accounts. He was well liked. 6 foot three. He's not small either. He's a right-handed center, which the Penguins don't have much of. I mean, that's the reason Jaromír Jágr didn't come to Pittsburgh, right? So here's the center we have for Jágr. July 1st, bring him up.
He's a year late.
So people were asking, is Brandon Sutter going to fill the hole that Jordan Staal leaves? Is he going to be able to play second-line center if Sidney Crosby goes down? You know, and if there's any kind of those questions that still linger. And the bottom line there is there's nobody who can replace Eric Malkin, or have said Eric Malkin. What is the problem with Malkin this summer?
This is made of Staal and Malkin together.
I didn't even remember his first name.
Well,
his name is obviously Eric.
Evergreen?
Clearly, Evergreen Malkin. But there's nobody who can replace him on that second line if he does have to play those first line minutes. But Brandon Sutter absolutely does a fantastic job of this. Plus, the Penguins continue to build assets and build toward the future, taking two picks in the first round this year, and also adding another prospect. So, I mean, more and more things are growing for Ray Shiro. And let's hear a little bit from Brandon Sutter.
Did you have any idea that you were in any danger of being moved this offseason?
Well, first of all, it is the first time I have been traded, yeah, so it's kind of a whole new feeling for me, but, and on top of that, yeah, I really didn't see it coming at all, so it was a bit of a shock to the system, especially the last couple of days, but, you know, I think now I'm a little bit relaxed, and, I'm getting kind of excited about it.
Hey, Brandon, when Jordan Staal was here for years, he was always a great third-line center, but he always knew that as long as Crosby and Malkin were here, that he would be the third-line center. You were a guy who was drafted high, who had some skill, but as long as you're in Pittsburgh, you'll probably always be the third-line center, too. Is that something that you're okay with?
Well, yeah, I think, you know, for me, I'm 4 years into my career now, and I'm, you know, I'm still yet to play in a playoff game. So for me, I'm at a point now where it's about winning, you know, and that's what I want to, you know, be there for, and I want to help with that, and, you know, what goes on with the lineup over the course of, you know, a couple of years isn't in my hands, and what can change. And obviously with the two big guys down the middle, you know, playing behind them is going to be a great opportunity for me. And, you know, you never know with injuries, the way things get shaken up through the season. But, you know, like I said before, I just want to win some games. And you know, I'm really looking forward to the opportunity and to play with some great players.
Hi, Brandon. Just wanted to talk about the first period goal you had. It was against the Penguins. It was, I think, off a turnover from Brooks Koepka. A, do you remember it? How well do you remember it? And you can you walk us through that?
Sorry, is that my first NHL goal you're saying?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, it's kind of crazy that I'm going to the team that I scored it on. So it's kind of neat how that worked out. But, yeah, I don't know. It was just, I remember I was just kind of forechecking on him, and the puck kind of bubbled off his stick, and I just remember grabbing it, and, you know, I was kind of my first big scoring chance in the league, so I don't remember it too well, but, yeah, I remember I just put it in the net, and it was a pretty exciting feeling for sure.
Thanks. Brandon, what were you expecting coming into this year from Carolina? What, if anything, had the coaching staff and management said to you about your upcoming season with the Hurricanes? What were they looking to get out of you productivity-wise, ice time-wise, et cetera?
Well, I think, you know, like I said, I wasn't expecting something like this. So at the end of the year, we were more discussing things about next year and how we were going to get better. And, you know, I think this is one of the first years where the team there now has, you know, opportunity to go after a free agent and stuff like that. So that was all kind of part of our discussion. And for me personally,
you know, I just kind of told him that I, you know, I like my role and I like what I do there. You know, but at the same time, we were upset with, you know, missing the playoffs again. But I think one thing I did kind of mention to them is that, you know, I felt there was times where, you know, I was almost, felt like I was stuck. You know, they always were expecting me to, you know, be good defensively, which is fine. But in terms of offense, they never really gave me much, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of opportunity. But I think, you know, I think that, you know, comes with playing with different guys and maybe different chemistry. You know, I think for myself, I don't want to be looked at as just a defensive player. I want to score goals and do things too. And, you know, I think in the past where I've had opportunity to play, you know, a little bit of power play here and there, and it has helped. But, you know, I think I'm obviously very, you know, very comfortable on the penalty kill and check-in and stuff like that. And I think if you can combine the two, it's, you know, you can turn yourself into a good player.
Brandon, you mentioned the two big guys down the middle. I wonder, what else do you know about the Penguins? Do you have any ties to anybody on the team now? Are you familiar with the coaching staff, the style? Just kind of give me an assessment, if you would, of all you know about the Penguins.
Well, I know just from playing against them, they're obviously a very, very talented group and always a tough team to play against. So that's what's exciting for me. And, you know, in terms of guys I know, I'm not familiar with anyone. I think I've met a couple of them through the years. I think James Neal was friends with a guy I played with in Carolina. I met him a few times. I think I've met Paul Martin and Matt Niskanen, but only one or two times. So it's definitely a whole new bag of worms for me. But I think one thing you find out in this business is no matter where you go, there's always you know, a lot of good guys. So we'll have to see how that goes. But that's kind of something that's probably the hardest part in all of it. But it's also something, you know, you don't have to worry about because, you know, you expect there to be, you know, good people everywhere you go. And from what I understand, they got a great locker room there.
Brandon, you mentioned a little bit earlier about, you know, wanting to have an opportunity for more offense. Do you feel like you're going to be able to get that opportunity because of the two big guys you mentioned down the middle, and Stahl was kind of looking for that expanded role on offense? Have you had any conversations with Ray or, you know, how you may be used here?
Well, I think, you know, when I say that, I think I mean, you know, in the role I'm in, I think there is ways to produce more offense. And I think playing with you know, maybe, you know, different players and, you know, obviously I don't know who I'll be playing with yet, but in terms of a roster, it's a roster that's, you know, obviously deeper than what we're used to in Carolina, and you know, a chance to play with maybe more talented players too can help. But you know, I just think that, you know, maybe different, the system might be a different whatever, but I haven't spoke to them about that, you know, anything quite like that yet. But you know, like I said, I am comfortable in the role I'm in, but I think it's important that you know, it has been the last couple of years where I don't want to get stuck just playing defense every shift. And I think, you know, obviously with Crosby and Malkin, and then if we can find a way to get the third line to, you know, produce like they have in the past, that, again, you have that three-line force, and they always have, you know, like I said, the depth to produce on the fourth line as well.
Hey, Brandon, just I know it's taken a couple of days for you to kind of come to grips with what happened here. Can you just talk a little bit about who delivered the news, how you got the news, maybe your first initial reaction, and why it took a couple of days to kind of come to grips with it?
Well, yeah, I was just kind of carrying on with my everyday day, I guess. I was just over at my friend's place, and I got a call, and it was Ron Francis, and he just kind of said that, you know, he said, I wish I was, you know, calling with better news, but here's what's going on. And, you know, and he thanked me for everything. And, you know, I kind of just kind of catch you by surprise. You think you know, you kind of feel like your heart kind of stops and you just kind of take a deep breath. And definitely a feeling I'm not used to. But it was a tough kind of couple days. It's just more of a shock than anything. But at the same time, you know, now I've kind of relaxed a bit, and talking with, you know, the coach and the GM, and spoken to Sydney too. So it starts to get pretty exciting. And you know, it's always hard to leave a place where you're comfortable and a lot of great people.
Hey, Brandon, welcome to Pittsburgh. And
thanks.
I just want to know, coming into a new team, obviously there's no experience for you. Do you think it's going to help that you'll be making this transition over the summertime as opposed to like midseason? And what are your summer plans? Are you planning to come visit and meet with the coaches and kind of start learning the system and things like that? Or are you just going to wait to come in training camp? I was just curious what your summer's going to look like.
Yeah, well, for the summer, I'm not too sure yet. I still have to kind of talk with some people. I think probably maybe thinking about coming down there in a couple of weeks and just moving all my stuff from Carolina to there and maybe looking for a place to live and things like that. I think it might be nice to get settled before training camp, so you know, a little more comfortable, and I can just kind of relax the rest of the summer and not have to worry about it. But I haven't really thought too much about that yet, and yeah, that's about it. Sorry, what was the first part of the question?
I was just, if you were going to come in and start trying to learn the system, meeting with the coaches and things like that when you visit.
Well, yeah, if I do come in, I'd love to obviously sit down with them and just talk. And, you know, like I said, it's a whole new feeling for me, so it'd be nice to kind of feel like I get my feet down and kind of, you know, see the dressing room and kind of learn the city a bit and try to figure out where I'm going. So, yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to doing that. And hopefully I plan again in the next couple of weeks, but I haven't had a final decision yet.
Do you expect that you'll feel any additional pressure because of the guy you're succeeding in that role? I mean, obviously, Jordan Staal is not your typical third-line center. He set the bar pretty high for that. Do you think you'll feel pressured to match what he did, or will you just come in and do what you've always done?
Yeah, I'm coming in to do what I've done. You know, I'm my own player, and I don't feel like I'm here to replace anyone. Obviously, you know, Jordan's obviously a great player and a player that I, you know, playing against is a player you want to be like. So, I think, you know, hopefully one day I can, you know, try and find that level that he was at in terms of offensive numbers. But, you know, I think I can. But like I said, I'm not, I don't want to feel like I'm replacing someone. I feel like the Penguins were, obviously had to make a deal, and I'm glad they picked me, and I think like I said, I'm going to a winning team where there's opportunity, and I feel like they chose me because they wanted me, and I'm just trying to look at it that way, and like I said, I'm not trying to replace anyone. I'm just gonna play my game and try to not worry about anything else.
Brandon, I'm wondering if you've heard an explanation for your family's impact on the NHL over the years that you think stands out as particularly shrewd or on point?
Oh, well, there's obviously a lot of us. And I've had uncles who've played in a lot of cities and coached and played for a lot of teams. So there's obviously a lot of us. And I think what my uncles and dad were able to do is pretty special. So I'm just kind of happy to kind of be part of that. And I know Malcolm Richie actually played in Pittsburgh. I don't know, it wasn't for very long, but for a while. So he was down there for the draft, and you know, he said that I'm going to like where I'm going, and it should be a fun place to play. So, but if I ever need any advice on anything, I definitely got a few people to call.
Hey, Brandon, you had 3 shorthanded goals last season. The Penguins themselves had 11 as a team, which was one of the better totals in the league. I know you haven't really had a chance to really look at what they do in terms of how they structure their penalty kill, but do you suspect this is probably a situation, at least with the penalty kill, that will probably really suit your skills pretty well?
Yeah, for sure. I think when you get out there on the penalty kill, obviously the first and foremost is to kill the penalty, but whenever you have a chance to go, you got to go for it. And, you know, you do have a chance to, you know, you pick get 2-on-1s or breakaways or whatever, but I think, you know, like I said, you're out there to kill it off, but they're definitely an aggressive team, and you know, they're quick up front, which is you know, why I think is one of my strengths. So I'm looking forward to getting into that. And again, it's a whole new feel, but you know, the game still plays the same way, kind of no matter where you are. So I'm excited about it, and we'll see what happens.
Hey, Brandon, does it make it any easier going to Pittsburgh, knowing your role? It's defined that you can do it in the league and that you've done it at a pretty high clip the past few years in Carolina. And if you could, what are going to be some of the things you miss about playing in Raleigh and playing for the Hurricanes?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think the role I'm going to, like you said, I'm very comfortable with, and it's the role I like to play. And, you know, I enjoy playing against some of the other team's better players and trying to outplay them, and that's a challenge. And, you know, I can remember coming into Pittsburgh and having to play against Crosby or Malkin, which was wasn't always a ton of fun, but you try to find ways to do it. So I'm looking forward to be on the other side of that now. Yeah, definitely, you know, there's lots of good things about Carolina and, you know, the organization, the fans were great to me. And like I said, it definitely came as a surprise this summer, but it's part of the business and, you know, I have to move on and it's a new chapter for me. And but like I said, you know, I definitely want to say thanks to the Carolina organization and all the fans and the players and the staff that, you know, were unbelievable to me and really helped me out the first couple of years. So I just want to say thanks.
Ryan or Brandon's, man, I am.
Eric Malkin.
1,000.
Ryan Suter, Brandon Sutter. That could get really confusing really fast.
It could. And
can you imagine
and
Steige?
Yeah, his head's going to explode. And we'll talk about that in just a second. But that's Brandon Sutter, formerly of the Carolina Hurricanes, now with the Pittsburgh Penguins. And could it be more obvious in these interviews and these conference calls, well, the media that are coming from Pittsburgh and the media that are coming from Carolina? And what do you think when you talk to the Pittsburgh media for the first time? And they're all like asking you questions like, hey, how are you getting around town? Do you have a car?
Track.
Has anybody shown you a map of the city yet?
It looks like a spaghetti, a big bowl of spaghetti.
Traffic or rain?
Goodness.
But obviously, a stand-up guy sounds like he's very intelligent. Yeah. And you know, a lot of people were concerned about the fact that he hadn't talked to the media at all until today. But I think, you know, that's a good thing. Because it does show that, you know, he wears his heart on his sleeve and he is an emotional guy and he gets attached away. I don't think it'll take him all that long to become attached to not only the organization, the players and that room and the coaching staff, but, you know, the city of Pittsburgh as well and that team. And it sure won't hurt to be sold out every night.
Yeah, I think Josh Sherry was tweeted, said that, you know, he was – a very good guy to deal with, you know, from the media. And you could tell from that conference call, seems like a really cool guy, very well spoken. So, you make a good point, though, Ken. It did take him a little while to kind of get over because he was shocked by the trade. But, yeah, that shows that he has some heart. And last time I checked, people in Pittsburgh, fans of the Penguins, fans of really any Pittsburgh sports team, love guys with hearts. They love those blue-collar players. So I think he'll be very well-liked here in Pittsburgh.
Well, I think the thing to kind of, you know, keep in mind going forward with Brandon Sutter is, I mean, he's not going to replace Jordan Staal, but no one is. I mean, Staal had an attitude, and he brought a style of play and just an overall caliber of play that you're just not going to get from a third-line center anywhere in the NHL. But I think if people look at Brandon Sutter as Max Talbot plus instead of Jordan Staal light, then I think that he becomes a little bit, you know, the transition becomes a little bit easier.
I think maybe even defensively, Brandon Sutter might be better than Jordan Staal in that regard. So it's a little bit of give and take. You might lose a little bit of offense, but I think you're going to gain a little bit more on the defensive side of the puck as a defensive forward too. So I really like the trade. I love the trade and the fact that it frees up some cap space for the Penguins to be able to do a little bit more on July 1. And I love the fact that it's really not that steep of a decline. I mean, you could look at it as Jordan Staal light, but it's not much lighter.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and that was not the only activity that the Penguins had this weekend on the trade front, also sending Zbigniew Michalek back to Phoenix in exchange for a couple of prospects and a pick, 81st pick overall, and goaltender Mark Chevrier and defensive prospect Harrison Rolpe. Now, the big thing here is that this was a classic case of salary dump for the Penguins. And you know, they got a good return as far as picking up some assets for the future. So it's not a complete dump, but it certainly is for the present time. You got to know that was a big part of the motivation here. And now here's at the Penguins, a week before free agency opens up, with $14 million of cap space to spend. Now, you got to consider, in these next 2 years, they also have to re-sign Evgeny Malkin and Sidney Crosby and start to talk with Chris Letang about extensions there as well. So those guys are obviously going to be getting some raises, but you know, $14 million to play with is a lot more than Ray Shiro has had in quite a long time.
Yeah, and I think it. You know, there's a couple priorities that you know he probably needs to clean up shop a little bit with, you know, before he moves on. For me, you know, I think you guys will probably agree that signing Matt Niskanen is probably something that needs to happen. You know, he gave him the 1 year offer and he turned that down. I don't think that that's really a surprise. But if he could get Matt Niskanen, you know, signed to a pretty comparable contract, that's pretty good. But the Mahal trade, I mean, it was almost, you know, let's clear up some cap space with the big club and then throw Wilkes-Barre a bone or two, you know, with some of these guys, because it just kind of, a lot of these guys, I mean, they have some upside, but they weren't like these big time prospects in Phoenix system. So it was nice that they did get a return, but I think it's pretty clear that Ray Shiro is ready to admit that the 2010 offseason was a mistake and try to recover from that as much as possible.
Yeah, I don't even think that he's making any bones about it. The day after the playoffs ended this year for the Penguins, he pretty much came out and said just as much that you know, he is holding himself personally accountable for that kind of thing. And the other thing also that I heard him say recently is we're talking about a couple of free agents, one being Zach Parise, who is on everybody's mind right now, and Ryan Suter. Who's another guy who everybody is got circled on their little pocketbook, PDA, whatever, iPad, whatever device you're using to keep track of all of this.
Paper and pencil.
Paper and pencil is probably the best way. Or just, you know, have a freaking brain and think about it. Anyway, yeah, thank you. So
a lot of fans have been dreaming of Zach Parise for quite some time, just with the connections he's got with Sid. But just real quick, back to the McCulloch trade. I love how Shiro threw a bone back to the Coyotes just for the fact that they know what they're getting back with Zdeněk McCulloch. He fits their system well. He's familiar with the team. He's familiar with Dave Tippett. They know exactly how they're going to use him. And I still think it was a great trade for the Penguins, and the fact that they are able to free up the salary that they need to be able to chase these guys like Zach Parise and Ryan Suter. So that being said, Zach Parise alert.
Yes.
Yeah, everybody's on Parise. I mean, I told myself I wasn't going to do this again, but
yeah, it happened again.
it has, and now we got the hype leading up for all this week. Everybody's officially on Parise watch. Sunday is when free agency opens up, July 1st at noon, and we'll see how things are going. Ashley, how do you feel about Zach Parise? Are you excited for this, or what are your emotions?
I'm not on Parise watch. I'll openly admit that.
It needs to be something different than watch, because the watch hasn't been working, so we need to change the name.
The Parise countdown?
Just like last year.
The Parise
year,
alert.
Just like last year, Nick. You're very right. Just like last year.
Yeah, you were kind of the same kind of curmudgeon against the Armory Auger last year too, where you didn't want him. Everybody else in the almost like probably about 80% of the Penguins fans wanted to see that kind of happen. I think it's even worse though this year. I think about 95 to 99% of Pens fans would love to see Zach Parise in a Pens uniform next year. And here's Ashley lying the law, bucking the system. Why?
Parise.
He's this guy crazy. Is phenomenal. He's going to fit the
good
system
and everything
so well.
Yeah, he's
be a
like,
monster.
You can't name me 10 better forwards in the league than Zach Parise.
You know
can
what? It's not anything against his talent, his capabilities as a player. I mean,
you just don't
not
like Americans.
That's what it sounds like.
That's all it is.
That's what it is.
You're the Don Cherry of this show.
You know what?
If they're not Canadian, screw them.
You know what,
not a good Canadian boy, that's it.
Jágr doesn't sound like he's from Newfoundland.
If he signs, I hope, like, you know, day one of training camp, he walks into that dressing room and Crosby hands him the gold medal and goes, here, now you can hold this because you're playing.
I knew it.
But no, honestly, all seriousness aside, if he does sign, that'll be a great thing, but I'm not going to set myself up for big things.
No,
just
Not too high and not too low.
I'm just kind of in the middle. If he comes, great. If he doesn't, okay, my hopes aren't up. You know, last year I openly laughed at everybody. I was in hysterics. I promise I won't do that this year.
Kind of a bitch about it.
I love you too, Ken.
No problem. So it's more the hype that gets you than anything.
Yeah. She said she'd be excited if she'd like it if he signed. But if
he
doesn't,
signs, that's great. Congratulations, welcome to the team. If he doesn't sign, I'm not going to be weeping over my, you know, Canadian flag on Canada Day because he signed somewhere else. At the end of the day, it is what it is. You know, best of luck to Shero. I really hope he can snag him down. But if he can't, you know, he has expressed that he would like to stay in New Jersey. We'll have to see. And that's the thing about July 1st. Even with all your cap space, you don't know what's going to happen. It's just basically a big waiting game. So,
yeah.
I mean, a lot of rumors going around about it. Just a lot of people talking about it, even on the draft floor on Friday and Saturday. And
that was before any of the trades went down.
Yeah.
Yeah, before the Stahl trade, before the Zibanejad trade, and then certainly after those two.
Oh, yeah.
Those rumors really picked up substantially. I mean, just so many little things kind of going into play here where it seems like Crosby's courting Parisi to come to Pittsburgh during the Stanley Cup Finals. It's been mentioned that Crosby was sitting with Parisi's parents in the press box and things like that. It's almost like a LeBron James, Chris Bosh, and Dwayne Wade thing all over again. But
stepbrothers.
This time I like it. So
yeah, we like this time.
I think it's even bigger. I mean, because Bosh, like in the NBA, you can name a few power forwards that are kind of hidden in his wavelength. Like, you could literally make the argument that, at least in my opinion, three out of the best five forwards in the league are Malkin, Crosby, and Parise. I think Parise is the best wing in the league, and other than Kovalchuk, I don't even think it's close.
And Parisi's not far removed from putting up 45 goals in New Jersey.
You saw what happened with James Neal. I mean, how many can Parisi get here?
Yeah, I mean,
50 at least.
Yeah,
50 at least. And could 60 be a possibility? I mean, holy crap.
If Stamkos can score 60 with what he was working with for a big part of the year last year, Parise can easily score 60 if he stays healthy. I mean, the power play alone would be something like, you know, would be like an all-star game. I mean, it's just an absurd. The fact that those guys have chemistry off the ice, they're friends, that helps, that benefits. I mean, you're going to have to deal with either the Cook-Sutter-Kennedy line, or you're going to have to deal with James Neal and Malkin, or you're going to have to deal with Crosby and Parise. I know there's a lot of people out there that think that, you know, the Pens need to shore up this big defensive thing first. And I do agree that the blue line does need a lot of work, but there are not many opportunities that you're ever going to have in your career as a general manager to land a once-in-a-lifetime talent like Zach Parise. I think he's just as much a Hall of Famer as Evgeny Malkin and Sidney Crosby is. I just think he's that good.
And bear in mind the defense, when we talk about shoring up the defense and improving those types of things and getting that goals against average to be where we want it to be, we're not just talking about the blue line. Yeah, there are lots of holes there, but a guy like Zach Parise is a fantastic two-way player.
Yeah.
He's not simply one-dimensional. Zach Parise can play both sides of the ice, and he consistently shows that. You can't play in New Jersey and not have that. Even Ilya Kovalchuk has made a vast improvement in that category since going to the Devils.
And losing Stahl but gaining Sutter and possibly Parise as these two-way guys.
Take that every day.
Any day of the week, man. Any day of the week.
Yeah.
But on the back end, I mean, we've had a lot of rumors about Ryan Sutter coming to Pittsburgh as a possibility. If that doesn't help bolster those numbers down to a good goals against for Marc-Andre Fleury, I don't know what's going to. Because Ryan Sutter is one of the best defensemen available right now. So.
Now, let me ask you this. Do you think that Ryan Sutter is a $6 million, $7 million defenseman? Because you got Erik Karlsson. I know he doesn't play a lot of defense, but he's
a completely different animal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Six, seven, no, I don't think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would go upwards of six. Yeah, seven absolutely not. Upwards of six, I could see that. You land him for 5-5, that's even better. But
yeah, that's a great deal. If you can get Ryan Sutter for 5-5. You know, the thing that I say, like, if like I was talking to someone the other day, and they were saying, you know, if you could only have one, what would you pick? And to me, like I said, I hear the arguments about the D, but to me it's a no-brainer. And the reason I say that, it has to be Parise, because you've made so many significant draft choices in the defensive department that the Parise deal, it's not just for this season. It's going to be for years to come. And if these guys like Morrow and Harrington and Dupre and now Pouliot and Mata, if these guys aren't developing the way you want, then you're not going to be winning, you know, anyway. So the defense is going to fix itself in a big way over the next 2 to 3 seasons, whereas having a guy like Parise, you're not going to get another shot at landing another wing like that, because there is not another wing that's capable of the total package of doing what he is. Even if you think that a guy like Kovalchuk or Sedin is more offensively gifted, Ken brought up a great point. His total, you know, game of what he's able to do, I mean, he can kill penalties. He really can do everything.
Yeah, and how about this? You mentioned those guys like Mata and Morrow and those guys. A potential top four with only Portland and London Knights players. Holy cow.
You got Chris Letang. And
I mean, you could possibly lose Letang. Orpik could eventually, I mean, he's over 30 now. I mean, so within the next 4 years, there's potential to have the top four defensive pairings having played together for at least 7 to 8 years by the time they get to that point. And that's pretty crazy chemistry potentially.
Yeah, certainly. And there's really nothing in the system, and we're talking about, if we're still talking about one or the other, nothing in the system coming up offensively for the Penguins. It's going to be anything that's even close to Zach Parise. But defensively, there are lots of options there. I mean, how many times have we been, you know, pining for Ray Shearer to step to the podium and say something other than a defenseman and then handing this guy a jersey? I mean, it seems like defenseman after defenseman is what the Penguins are drafting, but they've built that, and they've built up that that talent and that core and that depth at the blue line. And so a guy like Ryan Sutter is absolutely luxury, but
yeah,
Sutter, Parise, there's no reason with what the Penguins have to spend that they can't do both of those things, and that's great. If you're listening, I also want to thank you. Please continue. Bring on the hate towards Ashley Langlois.
Yeah, boo Langlois.
That's awesome, because she's
shout
crazy.
Shout out to Little Q out there, too.
I didn't even ask her about Ryan Sutter, because he's from Wisconsin, so I know how she feels about him.
Yeah.
If you have to pick, if you had to pick, what would you choose, Zach Parise or Nickelback?
This could seal your fate on the show.
Man, this is it.
That's an important question.
Wow.
Zach Parise or Bare Naked Ladies?
Zach Parise or Leonard Morissette?
Okay. It would be Zach Parise over Nickelback. It would be the Bare Naked Ladies over Zach Parise.
Oh, God, they're terrible.
I'm not even going to ask you about Leonard.
Leonard Morissette, we're not even going to touch that one, okay?
Where does Gordon Lightfoot rank in this?
Well, obviously over Parise. Come on.
Okay. Godfather of them all. And then if we can get apparently I found out that Nick, your wife isn't a very big fan of Rush.
Yeah, I don't even know. Like that's a secret.
Yeah, we should probably keep that secret. That's a dirty secret.
Well, man, you put that one out there for me, Parise or Rush. That's hard.
No, that's a tough choice. I'm with Nick on that one. That's a tough one.
Geddy Lee.
But, Geddy Lee, baby.
Just Geddy Lee, not even.
Just Geddy.
No, I gotta have Alex Lifeson in there. He's
in his glasses.
Okay, well, let's take a look at some of the other what else is out there on the landscape. And and if you're listening to the show, this is a good chance for you to call in, kind of chime in with what your thoughts are. The number to call is 347-202-0344. Again, that's 347-202-0344. We've talked about Parise. We've talked about Suter. Starting at defense, if you can't have Ryan Suter, who else is out there on the market who's on the line, whether it be unrestricted free agent, I mean, probably not restricted free agents, because let's just not even go into that, because I can't see Ray Shiro doing the offer sheet thing. He's already said, actually, that he will absolutely also not trade for anybody's rights. So I think he has a bit of a sense that he got burned on the Ham Hughes deal a few years ago, and he's not ever even going to entertain that option anymore. But if not Ryan Suter, let's start there. Who is available in this UFA class that the Penguins could go after on defense?
I think Brian Allen has to be one name. And we talked about a little bit over the trade deadline, but I think he'd be a nice addition. If you can get him for, I don't know how much he would want, but kind of a big guy, that would be kind of a good guy to put on our blue line, I would think. It's just one guy that I have in mind.
Yeah, I really like Brian Allen a lot. He's a big guy, and we haven't really had that big body on the back end since Hal Gill left. And I think that's kind of it's a giant kind of need back there. I think Corey Sarge wouldn't be a bad idea if you get him for the right price. He's kind of a big bruiser guy, too. But
it's too bad that the Pens couldn't get involved with Jason Garrison in some way, because I think for the style that they play with Dan Bosma, he would really be a home run at Pittsburgh. I mean, you take a look at the market, I don't think a guy like Sammy Sal is really that.
Well, I mean, a guy like Jason Garrison is a unrestricted free agent coming up here. He's definitely is someone who could be on a lot of people's radar. 16 goals, 17 assists last year, a plus three, and again that's in Florida, which is a much improved team. But still, he's only in his fourth year pro coming up here, and you know the guy is not that old either.
Yeah, I think. One thing.
Well, typically Shiro likes to get guys that. Go ahead, Andy.
Oh, I was just gonna say, when we're talking about Parise and Suter, little QA24 actually, he kind of stole my thunder on this. He tweeted. He said, "If we can't get Suter, don't you got to go?" His choice of words weren't right. Like he said, "If we can't get Suter, don't you got to go balls in on Yandel?" And and to get Suter, I would think you would have to pay $6 to $7 million per season, while Yandel signed at around $5.25 million till 2015-2016. So, would it be better if you can't get Suter? You know, if you can sign Parise, maybe you can get a cheaper option and Keith Yandel, and still, you know, get some production there out of Yandel, because Yandel's a fantastic defenseman.
Yeah, and just another thing, Shiro loves guys that have Stanley Cup Finals experience too, and just looking at the list, there's not a lot of great options on the free agent list for defensemen right now, especially with Stanley Cup experience. But one name that does stick out, and that is pretty cheap, is Brett Lebda. Right now he's from Columbus, obviously no Stanley Cup experience there, but whenever he was with Detroit, he had plenty of that. So, but that's just digging deep.
There's almost something to be said here. And, I mean, I see it when I look at Brandon Sutter and when I look at Ryan Suter. Both of those guys don't have a cup, and they want it. They want it bad. They're good players who want it bad. And I think the Penguins could use a few more players, especially watching the playoffs this year. It didn't seem like there were enough players on that team who really they didn't play with the urgency that's necessary for the Stanley Cup playoffs. And I don't know if it's having too many veterans, or having too many veterans who actually have a ring, hurts you in that case. And I'm not saying that they don't want to win another cup, because they obviously all do. But I mean, just a fraction of a percentage of effort, if you can measure it, is really important in those playoffs. And I mean, guys like Sutter, guys like Suter, and some of the other names we're talking about who don't have that type of experience might be a valuable asset, actually, as opposed to having people who are in the room who have hoisted the cup.
Speaking of the guys that was
that has Stanley Cup experience, Zach Parise. I'm just saying, if I'm just going to fuel that fire some more, there it is.
Yeah.
So, and speaking of badly wanting it, after just missing it in the year prior, you're going to really want that even more so the next time because you came so close and you just kind of fell short.
I asked some people on Twitter, Parise or Suter, Parise has 6 votes and Jaromir Jagr has 1. That was a fan, Steve, voted for Jagr. So Ryan Suter has been shut out at this point. But I think it's pretty obvious that Pens fans want Parise over Suter. And I don't blame them, I agree.
Yeah, well, here's where all these frustrating years of Ray Shiro taking defensemen in the first round or two is really starting to pay off with the depth in this organization that you have the freedom to be able to talk about this option now, I mean, this is why you build defense like this because you need it at some point and you stagger it along and they take years to develop and by the time you need them up there, you want to make sure that they're ready and you got options here. What can you say about that?
Yeah, I mean it's that's the double-edged sword of the Penguins organization is that you've had a lot of these star players over the years, and fortunately guys like Staal have to move on because of it. But at the same time, it also you have this new arena and these state-of-the-art training facilities and this small city atmosphere. When you look at the combination of what the Penguins can market themselves to prospective free agents and everything like that, it's really no surprise that a player like Parise or Ryan Suter or a player like that might be willing to take a little bit less. I mean, there's been some reports that Minnesota wants to throw out this really, really gaudy contract to Zach Parise, and I've heard Dallas and Colorado, they're going to have a bunch of cap space that they want to get in on him. I don't think any of those teams can really kind of offer the total package of what Pittsburgh has, and the fact that you throw Sidney Crosby into it, him and Parise have such a strong relationship dating all the way back to Shattuck St. Mary's and everything like that. I just don't think that there's really a package that any other team can throw out there for Parise. Well, I think he's going to sign here.
I think so too, but one team that can match kind of just organizational good vibes and kind of well-run is Detroit, and they have the cap space to do it too. So you get into a bidding war. I don't even know what could happen there, but that could just be completely stressful. And that's the one team I think gives Pittsburgh the biggest run, just in landing Zach Parise.
But if you're Detroit, I mean, I don't disagree. But if you're Zach Parise, you're gonna live in you're gonna live in Detroit. You're gonna be working out at like the Joe Louis Arena facilities and everything like that. You're gonna be playing to 65% capacity most nights. I mean, you're not even guaranteed that Detroit, I mean, Datsyuk and Zetterberg and guys like that are getting up in age, and they're having problems with health. I mean, Datsyuk hasn't played a full season since the Red Wings won the Cup. I just think you look at Pittsburgh, that what they, the way they treat their players, they do the dad's trip.
do believe they do the dad's trip. Was that thought?
What?
We lost you.
For a little bit there. We lost you on Dad's trip. What else did the Penguins do other than the Dad's trip?
Well, Dick, I was talking about the extracurricular stuff, like the new training facilities and stuff like that.
Okay.
Just no respect, none. Sickening.
You guys,
let's hope to see a little bit more of Tortorella over the weekend.
Yeah, I didn't see him once this weekend.
Didn't see him.
We looked for him too.
I want him to step to the mic and make the Rangers pick. And
we saw Therrien.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Looking a little soft.
And how cool is it for Chicago to let Brandon Saad step up and make their pick? Hometown boy back in Pittsburgh. And
cool.
I think that was a really class move on their part.
Yeah.
For sure.
For sure.
Sure it was. Elsewhere around the National Hockey League this weekend, Luke Shen will join his brother in Philadelphia.
James Neal has a brother, you know.
Feel bad for JVR.
I don't. I feel pleased for JVR because he got out of that hellhole in Philadelphia.
Yeah, but he went up to Toronto, so.
Well, that's slightly better.
It's a win for Toronto, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too. And it gives them options with Joffrey Leupold, too. Like, after having such a great year last year, can he produce those same numbers possibly on a different line? Because more than likely, JVR is going to be skating with Kessel.
Yeah,
they've already talked about how they might move him to center. How wow. Randy Carlyle is considering moving JVR to center. I don't know about that.
It's a big move. But Toronto fans were pretty much ready to ride Luke Shen out of that town on a rail about 2 years ago.
Yeah, ride him on a rail.
I was just going to say.
What is the show coming to? Depto says boner too. Yeah, now you're saying ride him on a rail.
Oh, God. Whatever. All right. This would be a great time to hear from the Penguins. 8th overall pick, 1st round pick.
What has Joe Morrow told you about the Penguins, if anything?
All good things, you know, that's all. I've heard all good things from Joe. You know, he really likes it here and the staff and everybody, and, you know, I'm real excited to be a part of that and, you know, looking forward to it.
Assuming things stay the same, the trades and everything with Dan Bowser's system, skating is a big part of that. Can you see yourself fitting in?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think I'm a good skater. You know, I think that's one of my strengths, and hopefully I'll be able to carry that on to here.
How much contact did you have with Pittsburgh people?
A little bit. I met with them a couple times this year and at the combine there, and you know, so just a few times.
Penguin.
You know, I think pretty good interest. You know, it's hard to tell, especially right up until it happens. And you know, but they seem pretty interested and happy to go here.
Joe Morrow's partner?
For a little bit. You know, I played on the power play with him this year mainly, but yeah, that was about it.
Suppose him being a prospect helped sort of get a more aware of what you're able to do.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it could have helped. He could have told them what I was capable of, and you know, that obviously them coming to see him a lot. Probably would have helped a little bit, and, you know, it's exciting and glad to be here.
And the Penguins have a great track record for developing defensemen, and particularly ones who are two-way offensive defensemen. Is that good news to you? I mean, do you like to hear that?
Yeah, definitely. You know, that's part of my game, and hopefully I'll be able to continue on with that. And, you know, just once again, real excited to be here.
What team did you follow growing up?
You know, I think Colorado was probably my favorite team growing up, but definitely Pittsburgh now.
If you were scouting yourself, what would you say that you need to do better? What part of your game needs to get better?
Yeah, you know, you can sharpen up my defensive game, I think. You know, you can always do stuff with that and, you know, be a little more intense, gritty, stuff like that. But I think that comes with a bit of maturity and a little bit of time, and, you know, I'm working on that all the time.
Speaking of quality of hockey in Portland and the number of draft picks you guys have had lately, what that does to your development?
Yeah, you know, it's been I've been real fortunate to go to Portland, you know, with all the good picks, good players, you know, just the ownership change, the coaching staff there is unbelievable, and, you know, just everything's kind of fallen into place to give me a real good shot to develop and eventually end up here.
Talk about the WHL defenseman in particular. A lot of your friends, teammates, and opponents that have already been picked in the first round.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's great to see all those guys go. It's great to be included in that that group of guys, and you know, it's a lot of fun for all of us.
What did Joe tell you about his experience at rookie camp last year? What do you suppose it would be like for you?
He said it was good. It's lots of fun, and you know, it's a little bit new, and you know, bigger guys, stronger, and you know, you got to be ready for it. And you know, it's good. It's looking good. I'm looking forward to it, and you know, real excited.
How did he think he did? He did really well by everybody else's account. What was his assessment about it?
I think he thought he did pretty well. You know, he obviously was coming in trying to make the team last year, and you know, he had to come back and play for us one more year, and you know, we were glad to have him on the blue line. He's a great D-man, and you know, kids got to learn from him.
I know you guys are teammates, but are you guys good friends off the ice as well, you and Joe?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we've got a real good relationship with him, playing with him, you know, get along with everyone pretty good.
Are there any NHL defensemen that you model yourself after, you try and learn from?
Yeah, you know, try and model myself after Drew Doughty, you know, guys like that, maybe Nick Lindstrom, boys, patience with the puck, and, you know, trying to get that intensity and grittiness like Doughty has.
What are your thoughts on being part of a major draft deal or draft day trade like that? Does it put more pressure on you? That
safe situation? You know, maybe a little bit. You know, right now it's just kind of a little bit surreal, and just real excited about it, and you know, extremely happy.
Derek,
did
you match the draft day? Have you ever met alongside Mario Lemieux?
No, you know, that's a great thing. I mean, lots of kids dream about meeting him and get to shake his hand, and you know, it's something really special.
What do you think of the arena and just the whole city in general? You've been here this week. I mean, you're going to be here now eventually. Like, what's your thoughts on it?
Yeah, you know, Pittsburgh's a great city. I've been here since Wednesday and got to walk around downtown a little bit, see it. And the arena is beautiful. It's a really nice place. And, you know, I'm excited to get here and, you know, hopefully stick around.
So this tour is going to take a little extra meeting now when you go through the locker room to sign autographs and everything like that.
Yeah,
like, your future
digs. Exactly. You know, it's real exciting and extremely honored to be picked by Pittsburgh.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
Yeah, brother and sister, both younger.
Both younger? Do they play?
My brother does.
How old is he?
He is
16.
Yeah.
2016
draft,
2014
draft. Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, you know, so there is the Penguins' first round draft pick, Derek Poirier. And, man, why do the bloggers sound so much better than the actual media members with a microphone? But Ashley, that has to make you happy, hearing a clearly, obviously Canadian boy speaking on a microphone.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
Unfortunately, what?
I don't even know anymore.
Yeah, it is.
You know what? It was a good pick, but.
Yeah, I think it was a good pick, too. I think there's something to be said for being able to scout that guy for an entire year. I think the Pens really know what they're getting from him. And I think he's a kid that, yeah, you know, has a really good head on his shoulder. I'm ragging him a little bit, but gosh, you got to be excited. You know?
I'd be a little lost for words. I wouldn't even be able to put full sentences together. I can barely do that whenever I'm, you know, like this. I just said, you know, anyway, so.
Yeah, you're
you guys,
we know.
All these handled that day so well. I was surprised by how well a lot of these guys, they're 17, 18, 19 years old, and they come off so polished for the most part, except for the us and stuff like that. But that's because they're so pumped and they're so excited and they don't have the chance to do this a lot. But
mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and some of these kids, you know, some of them have legitimately been groomed from a very young age to do the interviews, to do the press talk, to say the right thing when you're asked a specific question.
Pageant,
but a lot of them. It almost is like pageant dads. You know, it's a little intense, but. In the heat of the moment, who cares? I mean, you've just been drafted. You're halfway there. Say whatever you want. And if there's, you know, 15 ums and uhs before you get to the statement you're trying to make, so be it.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, he's from Weyburn, Saskatchewan. He is the defending champion of Little Miss Portland Winterhawk. And we're really excited to see him in Pittsburgh down the pipeline.
Yeah. I think it's funny that Joe Morrow's teammate gets drafted in the second round. Or not the second round, the second pick, Scott Harrington's teammate gets drafted.
Yeah.
Interesting.
You know, both guys, you know, obviously the Penguins have been looking at those teams, seeing these players for more than just 1 year, more than just 2 years. And I'm not, obviously everybody's scouted for a long time, but these guys were extensively getting a lot of contact with scouts, you know, almost accidentally in some cases, because we're looking at Morrow and looking at Harrington. So, you know, great. I'm really excited about this. I think we know what we're getting, and it's good stuff to have. So, Andy, what's going on this week?
I don't know. Well, what do you? Oh, man.
There's just so much to lead up to July 1st.
Yeah.
And a lot of covering of that. And so we still have so many of these guys to break down. Ole Mata, you know,
yeah,
Sundquist. And there's a lot going on this week.
We go all week. We have a lot of audio, so.
A lot going on. We'll see you Monday or every day this week at 10 o'clock here on the Pens Nation Radio Show.
See you later.